Well, Ron Witten is the senior editor on architecture for Golf Digest. One of his recent articles looks at the life and career of Pete Dye. Wanted to talk to Ron about that. It's a pleasure to welcome Ron Witten back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Ron.
Hello, how are you, John?
I'm good. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. Tell me about your relationship with Pete and Alice Dye.
Gosh, it goes back to the early 1980s. I had written a book on golf course design and went to an annual meeting of the American Society of Golf Course Architects and was introduced to both Pete and Alice. Then I started following him because he was building a course in the Midwest close to where I lived, Firethorn in Lincoln, Nebraska. And we just struck up a friendship, although as I noted in the article, Pete and Alice make friends of everyone.
For those who have not read the article, you described that Pete is not well right now, correct?
Yeah, he's suffering from, I guess, what you would call dementia or what we used to call senility. He's losing his memory, losing contact with the outside world. And it's a very tragic situation. It was something I resisted writing about, even when I started this project to write a tribute to Pete. But my editors encouraged me that was a part of the story. And if we did it correctly, it would not be capitalizing on his misfortune, but rather sort of sharing the grief that all of us who love Pete are feeling.
You even mentioned in the story that there had been indications of this earlier to you, and you just kind of either ignored it, thought it was old age, just didn't really think about it a whole lot.
That's correct. It's the sort of thing that happens to a lot of us. We know someone who's elderly, and they start repeating themselves, or they start getting confused about certain things, and you just figure, well, that's part of the old age project. For years, I can't keep my daughter straight. I call them the wrong names. The sort of thing that was apparent to me, but I didn't really want to accept the fact that perhaps Pete was slipping away.
I want people to read the article. I don't want you giving away the entire article, but I want you to tell a couple of stories. First one, they're not long, but the first one, tell the story of why Pete is a golf course designer and not an architect.
Sure. When Pete decided he wanted to get in the business of building golf courses, he took out a little ad in the Indianapolis newspaper where he and Alice lived, and he put Pete Dye, golf course architect. Well, Alice's father is a lawyer and said, Pete, you can't do that. Architects are licensed individuals. You don't have a license for that. That's false advertising. So Pete changed it to golf course designer, and ever since then, he's called himself a golf course designer. Even when he was president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects, he called himself a golf course designer.
I love that part of the story. I really do. Another part. Talk a little bit about the relationship he formed early on with Jack Nicklaus.
They played golf against each other on several occasions. Pete's about 11 years older than Jack. So when he met him, he was in his early 30s, and Jack was still a teenager, but a junior champion in Ohio. They both grew up in Ohio. And they played in an exhibition at Pete's family course, Urbana Country Club, that included Sam Snead and Bob Ross, who was a golfer, a contemporary of Pete's, in an exhibition, a fundraising exhibition. And the next year, Jack and Pete squared off at Prairie Dunes Country Club in the semifinals of the Trans-Mississippi Tournament. Jack won on that occasion. A few years after that, of course, Jack turned professional, won the U.S. Open in a playoff with Arnold in 1962, and began talking about building a course in Columbus, Ohio, what would eventually become a decade later Muirfield Village. And he knew this guy, Pete Dye, who was now dabbling in golf course design. So he contacted him, and they They went and looked at the property and started working out plans on it. When Jack got an offer to build a course in Hilton Head Island, he brought along Pete, and that course became Harbortown Golf Links. That was the first of four courses that they collaborated on together. As Jack told me, time and money meant nothing to Pete. And finally, after four projects, Jack told Pete, I love you, but I can't afford you. I can't lose money on these projects. So he left Jack, and at that time joined up with Desmond Muirhead to do Muirfield Village and a few other courses before forming his own firm in 1976.
We're talking with Ron Whitten here on the Augusta Golf Show. Okay, so you've told me something I didn't realize, Ron. I always thought it was Jack that collaborated with Pete on Harbortown. By the way, I still to this day, it's my favorite Pete Dye layout. So am I right in that, or was it Jack's and he brought Pete in?
Well, it was Jack's agent was looking for projects for Jack to do as a designer, and they contacted Charles Fraser, and Charles Fraser had Jack out to look at the property and said, can you design something? And Jack said, well, I've got a guy that's a designer, and I'll be the strategist on this thing. And so he brought Pete in, but it was Jack who landed them that job.
It's my favorite course. And you also let me know in the article, and I've known for years, everyone kind of knows that Alice has been right there by his side on his designs, the 17th at Sawgrass on the TPC course. I didn't know it was Alice's idea for the railroad ties on the 13th hole there. I love that hole.
Yeah, they're actually cypress planks.
Okay.
But it's a face of boards, sort of a bounce hazard. Alice was actually the better golfer of the two in the Dye family. She had oodles of state amateur championships, and actually played in the 1970 Curtis Cup. I hate to give away her age, but she was in her 40s at that time when mm-hmm. everybody else was a college student. I regret to say that ended up in the cutting room floor in my article, but she was very knowledgeable as a golfer, and she started editing Pete's work and assisting him in that sort of stuff. And I even asked her when I interviewed her recently, did you share that passion of architecture? And she says, that's just what a wife did back in those days. You supported your husband's career. But she was very adept and very savvy about it. And when we got to talking about whether it was Pete or Alice who tended to make holes difficult, she laughed and said, no, it was actually her, that she made the more challenging holes. It was her idea for the Island Green 17th at TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah. You mentioned in the article, and I could not agree more, that he reinvented the art. I don't think Jack did that. I don't think the Trent Joneses did that. Fazio didn't do that. With the current trend, Ron, of renovating and restorating, will Pete's work, how do you think Pete's work will be looked at 50 years from now?
I'm hoping that it will be respected and retained and lovingly restored and retrofit to any updated technologies that may evolve. But his is a very distinct architecture. It's every course is different from every other course, and they're still very distinctive today, and I think they will remain that in the future.
What's your favorite Pete Dye course?
Wow, that's a good question, because I've had the privilege of following so many of Pete's projects from raw land. Firethorn that I mentioned in Lincoln, Nebraska, I got to walk the site of Whistling Straits with Pete and Herb Kohler, the owner, well before they started, and it was a dead flat 2 mile Army air base on a bluff overlooking Lake Michigan. And you wouldn't even recognize anything of that today, because Pete went in there and totally transformed that piece of property into all these hills and valleys and peaks. And if you're familiar with the Whistling Straits, which has hosted three PGA championships and will host the 2020 Ryder Cup, you realize that just what sort of talent he had. But my personal favorite is Casa de Campo, the Teeth of the Dog course. 8 holes right on the ocean, and it's not like Pebble Beach where you're 80 feet above the ocean. You're 15 feet above it. You can taste the salt spray as the surf hits the rocks. It's just a marvelous, glorious course. And it was hand-built with using Dominican labor.
If you get the chance, read Ron's article on Pete Dye. The love that you have for Pete and Alice is obvious in the article, Ron. Thank you for writing the article. Thank you for doing this. I always appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.